Hello and welcome to Mojo Share. I'm your host, Claire Oldham-West. This is a space I've created where we can have honest, filter-free conversations around fitness and slimming.
I was so nervous doing this, but I'm so glad that I was able to do this and given the opportunity to speak with Claire Shaw. Claire Shaw has gone on to lose 12 stone in weight with Slimming World, and I found her story to be so inspiring. Just that commitment to see that weight loss through to the end. I think she's an amazing leader, and I hope you'll enjoy this interview today. So if you're sat listening to this thinking, I need to get motivated, I need to knuckle down and get this 2 stone off, this 4 stone off, just sit and listen to this story, because she's lost 12 stone, which is an enormous amount of weight. But how has she done it? How has she found the determination to stick to it for those months that she did to get this weight off? I think you'll find this a great inspirational story. So sit back, relax, and I hope you enjoy. Here's Claire Shaw.
I can't believe how much weight you've lost. So if you want to start off by telling us how much you've lost and where you're at with Slimmer's World at the moment.
Okay, so at the moment, in total, I've lost 12 stones. Right now, this second, I am sitting 1.5 pounds above my target weight.
Wow.
So I'm back down to 11 stones, 12 and a half lost. But
wow.
12 stones is my total, yeah.
Amazing. So, I mean, 12 stone, that's like a whole person.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And I've actually carried a 12 stone person. The night I got to Target, somebody in group said, I weigh 12 stone. So I picked her up, I held her on my back, and it's just the most unbelievable feeling to just think, how on earth did I manage to carry this round with me?
Yeah.
This huge amount of weight, because it is just literally like having another person strapped to you. But that explains so much about why I was out of breath all the time, why I had pain in my knees, in my ankles. Just getting up and out of bed in the morning was painful.
Mm.
And that's why, because I was carrying so much around with me that I shouldn't have been.
My goodness. So when you say you had pains in your knees and different parts of your body, did you take any medication?
No, I never got that far. I think I took painkillers a couple of times. If we'd been out walking for more than a couple of hours, then I would really start to feel the pain in my knees and in my feet and in my back as well. So then I'd take painkillers just so that I could stand and cook a meal in the evening, or, you know, just get around without sort of feeling it too much, but nothing prolonged.
So you're still active, it's just that everything was quite laborious and felt difficult.
And yeah, everything was at a much slower pace as well. You know, I was active to a point. I would be able to, for instance, stand and cook a Sunday dinner, but then once that was done, I would then be on the sofa for the rest of the day. Whereas now, if, you know, my typical Sunday is get up in the morning, I go for a quick run with the dog, then I go to a spinning class, then I come home and cook breakfast for me and my other half. We'll perhaps go out somewhere, you know, shopping, or, you know, have a nip round perhaps with the dog again.
Yeah.
Come back home, cook Sunday dinner, and then, you know, you're just getting on with your normal household bits and pieces. So I spend an awful lot less time on the sofa getting over the activities that I've done, because I'm a lot more used to being up and on my feet, so
right.
I'm more able to.
How does it actually feel in yourself? So when you're sat there or considering going shopping or just booking holidays, how does that change make you feel?
Oh, it's so difficult to describe, but it is absolutely incredible. It is just so amazing to have, and I've said this quite a few times on Instagram, on my posts and stuff, to have a life without limits. And that's really what I feel like. I feel like with each stone I've lost, I've released a set of chains from
my
body.
Wow.
So for each stone, I've literally taken a weight off my shoulders, to the point now where I feel like I'm totally free. I'm a free person. I'm not limited anymore. I'm not held back anymore. And it was me that was holding myself back. I fully understand that. And I really grasp that the only person ever getting in my way was myself.
Mm.
But I'm free from that now. I can do what I want. I haven't got to think about how my weight is going to impact. So before, if we thought about going abroad, I would be thinking about the fact that when we were flying, I would be uncomfortable in the plane seats.
Right.
I'd have to ask for a seatbelt extension.
Okay.
And the embarrassment and the humiliation of going through that process of having to say to one of the air stewardesses, can I have a seatbelt extension because I can't fit in this seat properly, you know. A couple of years ago, we went to Tenerife, paid for extra legroom seats,
right.
got on the plane, sat down in the seat, asked for a seatbelt extension, and I was made to move because you can't sit in one of the extra legroom seats with a seatbelt extension.
Really?
So then we had to approach someone else who was in a normal seat and say to them, I can't sit in this seat for takeoff and for landing. Can you swap with me? Which he did, and he did that without us having to give him any reason. But again, it was just another level of humiliation. We went to a water park, and I picked up one of the single, like, inflatable things that you sit on to go down
the tires.
Slide. Yeah, the tyres, that's it, yeah, to go down a slide. And the attendant said to me, in sort of broken English, no, no, you're too big, and sort of made this gesture with his arms of a big person, you need one of those, and pointed to the rings that were for two people. So I had to go down this water slide on a ring for two people on my own, and that, you know, again, that was humiliating. But this time, when we, because we went to Gran Canaria earlier this year, there was none of that.
No.
You know, it was an absolute joy to go into the shop and buy clothes to take, because I was able to buy the clothes that I actually wanted to, not the ones
that just fit.
That I was able to get hold of, basically.
Oh, fantastic. So going back to that moment on the plane, just unpick that for a little bit. So you've been made aware you can't sit on the seat.
Yeah.
I mean, was you fuming? Was you?
I was devastated.
Yeah.
Absolutely devastated, because for me that just then compounded the feeling of I've done this to myself. I've put myself in this situation. You know, I didn't feel that it was anybody else's fault. I didn't feel that I wasn't mad with the air stewardess, because at the end of the day, she's just telling me something for my own safety.
Yeah.
There's no other reason for it than that. She wasn't being spiteful. She wasn't being mean.
No.
She was giving me the facts of the situation. Mm-hmm. You can't do this because of that.
Yeah.
And basically, you can't sit there because you're too fat. And that's it, you know,
I could just, like, I could just see that in my mind's eye and just think, would you just want to, like, die and just dissolve?
I just wanted to cry. Just wanted to, you know, get back off the plane. Right, I'm not going there, you know. But what can you do? You're there, you've paid for the seats, you know, you're flying.
Yeah, at the time.
You've got to do it, haven't you? You've got to just get up and move. And luckily, everyone around me was lovely about it. You know, the air stewardess was, the way that she delivered it was very, very diplomatic. She was very sensitive.
They are very used to that, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. You know, so I was lucky in that respect. I think if there had been any kind of sort of any more kind of, how can I say, if anybody had been slightly mean about it, I would have been reduced to tears. Because everybody was just, matter of fact, this is how it is. Can you do that? I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
We just dealt with it, you know. But on the inside, definitely I was dying. Okay. I was just, you know,
I really feel for that. That would be just my worst nightmare. Because when you go on a holiday, you make an effort, don't you, to make sure everything's right, that you feel lovely, your hair's done. And
if
anything like me, your nails are done and everything's organised. And then you met with that on the airplane. I really, really do feel for you. So was that the point that was your turning point, or was that just, was it many factors that made you decide that this was the time to change?
That was actually quite a few years ago. So that was sort of one in many occasions where I've been reminded of how heavy I am and, you know, how sort of this has impacted on my life. It was actually January 2017 when I made the decision to join Slimming World, and it was a snap decision.
Okay.
I'd looked into it, I'd looked into the groups, I'd been reading stories in the papers about how people had had these life-changing weight loss stories and the journeys that they'd been through. And then I had a bit of a tricky situation where I had a problem with my heart. My heart was racing uncontrollably and couldn't settle into its normal rhythm.
So is this like a one-off that had happened?
It was a one-off thing that happened, and then it happened again. So then it wasn't a one-off thing.
Right.
When it was a one-off thing, I kind of put it to one side, compartmentalised it in my head, and just thought, it's a one-off thing, you're absolutely fine, just ignore it, carry on with your life. The second time it happened, it really, really frightened me because I thought, right, this is now happening again.
Right.
So this is now a pattern. This is something that's you know, starting. Mm. And I really felt that it was my body telling me, I can't cope.
Do something.
Well, you've got to do something because I can't cope with the weight that you are. You're putting too much stress.
Okay.
And you've only got one heart. And when it packs up, it's really your time's up, isn't it? You know, so at the time, my son was 20. He might be 19 or 20. You know, and he was at home from university at that point. And I had to go into his bedroom and tell him, I'm going to hospital because there's something wrong with my heart. And that was really upsetting to have to do that, to have to tell him that.
Yes.
So having gone through that situation and going to A&E and them sort of saying not an awful lot, we waited in triage. I was seen really quickly because it was a problem with my heart.
Mm.
And then they passed me on to primary care because they established that it was nothing life-threatening, it was nothing that was going to kill me immediately, you know, there was nothing serious going on because the heart had settled back into its normal rhythm. So then we were passed on to primary care and the wait was something like 4 or 5 hours, but my other half had got to be in Manchester that evening, so we ended up just walking out because we couldn't wait.
Right, right.
And then it was a week or so later, I was sat on the sofa at home about 7 o'clock on a Monday evening, and I just stood up and said to my other half, I'm going to Slimming World. And he said, what? What do you mean? I said, I'm going to Slimming World. I'm going to join. I've got to do something.
Yeah.
And that was it. Swept my bag up, walked out of the house, drove to where I thought this Slimming World group was. The doors were closed. The lights were all turned off. Everything was locked up and I'd gone to the wrong place.
Right.
So instead of going back home and thinking, oh, you know, sod it, I'll find another group. Yeah. I'll go somewhere else. Looked on the website on my phone, found the next group, got myself there, walked in. I was 10 minutes late for the new members talk, so the consultant sort of rolled her eyes a little bit when I got there and kind of, oh, you know, she's late, she's not heard everything, so didn't hear all of the new members talk. No. And she said, oh, I'll catch you up at the end. So already I'm on the back foot and feeling, oh God, I've done this wrong. So, you know, those feelings of being, I want to say inconsiderate, but I don't mean that.
So you didn't feel like worthy of the attention anyway. So
yeah,
that was okay.
You know, I've already failed at this. I've tried to do it. I've gone to the wrong place. Then I've got to the right place, but I'm late.
And yet you've made all the efforts.
I've made all the effort and I'm trying to do the right thing. But, you know, yet again, it's going wrong and I'm not doing it well enough. So. But all that was doing was making me more determined to make it work.
Right.
No, you've got to stay. You've got to do it. You've got to try. Make it right by putting it right and doing everything else right.
Exactly, yeah.
So I stayed to the rest of the group and sort of, you know, then I'm the one sat rolling my eyes when everybody else is clapping because Susan in the corner's lost half a pound, even though she's had 3 fry-ups and 4 pieces of birthday cake, you know, and you're just kind of like, oh, goodness, really? Is this what this is going to be? But, okay, yeah, let's go with it, you know, because it just might make a difference.
Yeah, yeah.
So you go to the scales at the end of the class and, you know, you get weighed and looked at the number on the scales and kind of had an idea of what it was going to be. Mm. And that number was 23 stone 10. Right, okay. So just looked down at the scales and thought, okay, this is what it is. That's the last time I'm going to see that number.
Oh, bless you.
I'm not going to see that again.
That is so brave, I think, just to see that and to think that.
Yeah, and I see, you know, now as an existing member, you see it so many times, people go and they get weighed for the first time and they step off and they're really upset. And I always say that to them, that's the last time you're going to see that number.
Yeah.
You're not going to see that number again because when you come in next week, it's going to be less.
Yeah.
Even if it's half a pound, you're not going to see that number again. No, it will always be less.
Wow.
And on it went. There we go. That's how it started.
So that was in January 17.
Yes.
And so you've gotten the scales, you've got the figure, you've got your book, you've got your pack.
Yeah.
Tell us what happened then. So for anybody listening that is thinking about Slimmer's World or thinking about doing exactly what you did and taking that step through the doors and going to group, what was the next step that evening?
So that evening, went home and sat down with the book and just started reading. Okay. Because the consultant goes through it with you, but at a bit of a rapid pace. And obviously, as I've said, you know, I was 10 minutes late for the new members talk, so I'd missed the first part. So then you kind of go home and you need to digest. And this is now at 9:30 at night, so I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what am I going to do for my breakfast? You know, I've not got anything in, I've not got the right things, I'm totally unprepared because it was such a snap decision. So just decided, right, make the best of a bad job here, you know, again, the thoughts of not being good enough and not doing it properly start creeping into your mind and you just think, no, it is what it is, you've got what you've got for breakfast, so all you can do now is make the best choices with what you've got available. So planned my breakfast for the next day, which was a Cadbury's brunch bar, because I've got packets of those in the cupboard because I absolutely love them, or I did love them. I've not had one for months now, years in fact. And then I always nipped out from work for lunch, so then start thinking about what kind of things can I have for lunch. And I always worked at that point next to a Tesco that had got a hot counter that did rotisserie chicken.
Okay.
So reading through the book, rotisserie chicken is absolutely free if you strip all the skin off. So brilliant, I can have rotisserie chicken and I'll buy a bag of salad, just pre-cut salad with red cabbage and whatever else in, throw that together, that's the perfect meal.
Wonderful.
And I have lived on that rotisserie chicken and salad for 2.5 years. But it's been amazing because it's a hot meal every day. But it's really tasty. It's quick, it's easy, it's relatively cheap. You know, you can get 4 chicken thighs for £2.
Yeah.
Brilliant. If I went to Greg's and got a sandwich and a bag of crisps and a bottle of pop and inevitably a piece of cake or some sort of something, you're looking at nearly £5.
Exactly.
So not only is it lots better for me, but cheaper as well. So that's kind of how the next week went. I was just feeling my way forwards and making the best decisions I could and doing what I thought was the best. So I filled in my food diary, as your consultant asks you to, but felt like I needed to explain the choices that I'd made.
Okay.
I've still got it. I'll send you a photo of it later on. I've got my food diary and I stapled this additional page to it with points that I'd numbered on my food diary for the consultant to refer to.
Okay.
So point number
one. She loved you. Extra homework.
So point number one, I've had a lot of chips this week. That's only because, and then listed all of the reasons why I'd had a lot of chips that week, you know, and then it was just a series of these points of I've done this, but this is why.
Okay.
And I'm struggling to find a healthy extra B, and, you know, all these different silly things. And she did the loveliest thing for me. She wrote me a card and she returned my food diary to me in this card and said, Claire, you're doing amazing. Take the pressure off yourself. You know, you really try and
breathe so hard.
Just relax. But I wanted to do so much and I wanted to be perfect.
Because perfect,
we all put that pressure on ourselves to do things right.
Yeah.
And I'd really, really sort of hammered this home to myself that I really want to do this. I'd got this idea in my head of let's just see how the first week goes.
Okay.
But I think I'd always got that thought in the back of my head that this is it. This is my turning point.
Yeah.
I feel like this is my time.
Absolutely.
I've said it quite a few times, but I really feel like my stars have aligned, and I don't know if you believe in fate or whatever, but I do, and I really think that this has all been very, very set and very, very meant to be. It's just felt like so many things have dropped into place at the same time to pave this way forward, to make it easier for me. I'm not saying it's been easy, because it's been very hard work and very, very testing and trying at times, but I do feel like everything's fallen into place.
So do you feel that, in a way, it's made a little bit easier because that's what you believe, that this was the right time, there was no turning back, and whatever happened, this was going to happen and you was going to get success with this group?
Yeah, I think that feeling of everything being right has really helped, but also it's put me in a more positive frame of mind.
Absolutely.
Because if you feel like everything around you is right, then you feel in a stronger place to tackle the challenge that you've got.
Absolutely.
So felt like I was so much more well equipped to deal with what was being in front of me. You know, I'd only got myself to look after. So I've got another half. Yes, I've got my son, but my son's away at university.
Right.
So he's looking after himself. So I haven't got to think about him. I haven't got to be home to cook his tea. I haven't got to, you know, do any of those things. My other half is very self-sufficient. So he's quite happy to get on and tootle along doing his own thing.
So
and not dependent on me. So this was all about me.
Yeah.
So I was able to come home and think every night, what do I want to eat? what do I need to eat to fit into this new regime of things that I'm doing, and how can I make those two things meet in the middle? So I'm having something that I enjoy, but then it's also good for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it's really important to say that that is fantastic that you only had yourself to think of. What would you say to those listening today that maybe that isn't the case? So let's say people with busy lives where maybe, I don't know, maybe they're working full time. Like myself, I've got a son, 12-year-old son. I've got two stepdaughters. It's very, very busy trying to fit in my fitness, especially my podcast now and then exercise. So what would you say to somebody who's listening, who's thinking, well, okay, it's okay for Claire losing 12 stone. She's just said that, you know, she's you know, she's got all this time to herself. What would you say to those people that are listening that are super busy?
Try and make things as easy for yourself as possible. So even though I only had myself to think about, I think it was still so important to plan ahead. And think about what you want to do and how you're going to get there. So planning my meals out, you know, and you can do this whether you're just cooking for yourself or whether you're cooking for a family of 4 or 14 or whatever.
Okay.
Think about how your next days are going to go. What's included in those days? Is it, you know, that you're going to work full time? Is it that you want to fit in exercise classes? Is it that you've got to take the kids to football or dancing or whatever they do? And plan things in around those activities to make sure that you're not getting too hungry, to make sure that you're eating the right things. Try and find meals that the whole family enjoy.
Right, yeah, you know, that's important.
That's something that I've had to do with me and my other half, because during the week he's happy to be self-sufficient and cook his own meals. But then at the weekends, it's lovely for us to eat together and spend that time, because that's how you reconnect, isn't it?
You
go over things like meals.
Around the table.
Spending time together. So I've had to sort of find meals that he finds acceptable or that I can do in two different ways. So I can do a slimming world version for me and a normal version for him.
Yeah, so just talking a little bit about that more. So what meal would you split and do the tweaks to make it slimmer world and one for your husband and your family?
What could you say? There's loads and loads of different examples. So you could do, I could make a slimming world cottage pie.
Right.
And he doesn't know the difference, because the only difference is that you use fry light to fry your mince off in instead of oil.
Right.
And perhaps you cut down on the amount of gravy granules that you use, or you make your gravy in a slightly different way so that you're not using too many sins for it.
Okay.
Or use a lighter butter instead of full-on Lurpak.
Right.
Something like sausage and chips. So he would have sausages fried in a pan, deep-fried chips, and I would have my sausages and Slimming World chips done in the Active Fry. So I've got two different devices going at the same time, but that's absolutely fine because I've got room on my worktop for both of them.
Yeah.
I've got my meal going on in the Active Fry, his meal's being cooked separately, but that means that we're both having the same thing, it's just cooked in a slightly different way.
Lovely.
Or if, like, for example, on Friday night we had steak and chips. So I'm cooking the steak in the same way, in a pan, in fry light, but then I've got the deep fat fryer going on for Adam's chips, the Active Fry going on for mine.
And do you never crave that type of food? Deep fried chips are super high in sins and calories and different things. So when you're cooking for the whole family, do you ever feel like you're missing out or deprived? What goes through your mind for you to think, right, okay, we're having chips tonight, but I'm going to do the healthy version and the family's going to have this other version? What goes through your mind?
I think initially there were those feelings of deprivation and those sorts of feelings of, well, I can't have that anymore. And I tried to stamp that out of my mind, you know, that feeling of I can't.
Okay.
I can have that. I can eat whatever I like. I'm choosing not to, because that's the better decision for me.
Right.
I'm choosing to look after myself. And in looking after myself, I'm making better food choices.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what I'm doing is actually protecting myself and protecting my weight losses. Because how will I feel when I step on those scales on Monday evening or Tuesday evening, as it is now, and I haven't lost weight? And I haven't lost weight because I've had deep fried chips on Friday, and then on Saturday I've had pizza, and then on Sunday I've had treacle sponge and custard after my roast dinner.
Yeah.
That's going to reflect on the scales on Monday. So on Monday, when I step on the scales and I've not lost any weight, I'll know exactly why, and I'll be really mad with myself and upset that that's a week that I've lost.
Yeah.
A
week's progress, definitely.
That I haven't
had. That's so inspiring.
Had.
So with all this weight that you have lost,
Do you feel that you've done everything that you need to do and you will never go back? Do you feel that this is it? It's been a moment in my life that's done, and there is no going back. Is that where you're at the moment?
Yeah. I think if I imagine myself now going back, even putting a couple of stone on, the disappointment in myself and this feeling of being not good enough would start to creep back in, and that negativity then starts to eat away at you and make you feel unhappy with yourself. And how do you comfort yourself? I've always comforted myself with food.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so difficult because we celebrate with food. We comfort ourselves with food. Food is such a massive part of your life. But I think it's finding the balance, and that's where I feel I am at the moment. I feel like I've found the balance. So now, maintaining target, I've found that what I can do is have a piece of birthday cake. If I want a piece of birthday cake, that's fine. But then the next day, don't have a piece of birthday cake.
Have
a day without. Yeah. You know, you can't keep treating yourself and congratulating yourself and saying, oh, well, I can eat that now.
Yeah.
You've got to find that balance. And I think once you're able to have that sort of balance in your mind of, yes, I can do this, but not all of the time. Not
consistently.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I really struggle. So I can, a really good time on plan, maybe 4 weeks, 5 weeks, and then there might be an event or a couple of events within a week. And my consultant always says, well, just think that's just one meal, and then further on in the week, that's another meal, so that's two meals. So why do you think you're going to put all this weight on for two meals? But for me, I struggle, and I'm sure there's other listeners that can relate to this, where you know you've got a party or an event or a social event where there'll be food. You know you need to be in control, but just drawing that line after that event. So let's say, for example, on Saturday, I've got a meal out with friends. On the Sunday, I find it really hard to think, right, okay, let's not have, I don't know, white bread for breakfast or something like that.
Yeah.
It kind of starts for me as if it's like a little trickle. So it'll be right, okay, well, I've had a blowout on Saturday night. I went out for curry and had drinks, so it doesn't matter if I have a piece of white toast, because it's only white toast, it's only one piece of white toast. And then Monday will come around, if it's like anything like me, I have a stressful day at work, and at lunchtime, instead of eating, you know, your salad that you prepared, I might go in and get McDonald's or something ridiculous, because when you're on plan and you're paying money to weigh and to get that support, and then to sabotage is such a minefield, such a mind game. And I'm just wondering what you would say to people that do self-sabotage. Have you ever experienced during this time of your weight loss where you've had moments where you just feel, I'm going to blow it, I'm going to have an absolute blowout, and have struggled to get back on track?
Yes, yeah, I think it happens to everyone. And, I, it would be wrong of me to say, oh, no, I've flown through this and I've never felt like that, because everyone does. I've thought about it an awful lot more than it's actually happened. But, yeah, it's happened. We're all human. And I think this is where it becomes, you know, more of a mind game than anything, because you go through that stage, you go through those feelings of wanting to indulge, and then you indulge, and then you overindulge, and then it carries on a little bit further and a little bit further.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at what point you're able to draw the line and say, right, now, come on, you've had enough.
This is
enough, yeah, and have that talk with yourself. I mean, I've walked around supermarkets with donuts in my hand. Jam donuts. Oh, my God, they're incredible. Everybody loves jam donuts. They're wonderful. They're covered in sugar. They're doughy. They've got jam in the middle. What's not to love? I've walked around supermarkets with them in my hand.
Yeah.
And walked all the way back around to the bakery and put them down.
Really?
Having this internal discussion, fight in my head of, I want it, but how am I going to feel on those scales?
Yeah.
How am I going to feel if I get on those scales? What do I want more? Do I want a jam donut, or do I want to lose weight? And losing weight has always won. Losing weight has always been the answer for me. And that's given me the strength to put that back down again and to draw the line and to get back onto plan as soon as possible. I think one of the most important things when you've got social occasions, things that are coming up in your life, days out, family days, you know, weddings, meals out with friends, is the preparation and the mindset that you put yourself in going into that situation.
Mm.
So if you're going out with friends, where are you going? what kind of things are on the menu. Have a look at the menu in advance.
So would you do that then?
Prepare myself. Even if you can't prepare, I mean, if you're going out for the day, then you can prepare the food and take it along. If you're going out for a meal, have a look at the menu online. See what kind of things that place offers.
Okay.
Don't be frightened to say to them, can you not cook that in oil for me? I'm doing Slimming World.
Okay.
Most places will be incredibly accommodating and say, yes, that's absolutely fine. If you order new potatoes and it says buttered new potatoes, can I have that without butter, please?
Right.
Places will accommodate you.
Yeah.
Places will do that. You know, I've been out for meals and I've had steak, potatoes with no butter and steamed vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it might not be as scintillating and exciting as some of the meals that are on offer, but it's more about going out and having that social occasion with your friends rather than what food it is. So you can strike that balance. You can do both things.
Absolutely.
You can go out for a meal with your friends and enjoy it, but you just don't have to blow your budget.
No.
I mean, your Slimming World consultant is absolutely right. One meal doesn't break your week.
No.
And what I've always done after being weighed is had Tuesday nights when I'm weighed, when I go home, I eat what I want.
Okay.
Whatever I want. Whatever's been driving me mad that week. So the weeks when jam donuts have been driving me mad, I've had a jam donut waiting at
home. So do you do that every week?
Every Tuesday, I have a meal of whatever I fancy.
Okay.
Now, sometimes it's my favourite Slimming World Caribbean pepper pot stew that I've lived on. That's been a wonderful, wonderful
meal for me.
Yeah, it's a really good one. But on Tuesday nights, I might have a stack of garlic bread with it because I love garlic bread.
Yeah.
Garlic bread with cheese is just divine. So, you know, it might be that I treat myself that way. Sometimes it's nipping to the chip shop on the way home or having a Chinese or having a pizza. And I almost feel like I'm resetting myself. I'm readdressing a balance and saying, right, okay, this is the end of this week. You've done really well.
Okay.
These are the meals that I've been craving. So I've had it.
Yeah.
Because nothing's counted, nothing sinned. Don't make myself feel guilty for eating anything.
Yeah.
I've eaten this meal. 9 times out of 10, it doesn't meet your expectations because it's all in the anticipation and, you know, you imagine something's going to be amazing.
Exactly, yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, it makes you feel a bit rough as well because you've perhaps overeaten or you've eaten things that your body isn't enjoying anymore.
I think as well when you are used to maybe cooking from scratch with Slim as well, because I do a lot of my food. Don't eat a lot of convenience food. I eat the Iceland, the Slimmers World meals. I've just got into, and I will keep some of those in for convenience. But I think when you cook from scratch and you're cooking from like fresh ingredients, then it's a totally different taste to maybe going and getting a takeaway.
Oh, absolutely.
Or chips and fish from the chippy, because I think all those smell lovely,
mm-hmm.
very enticing. The aftertaste and the bloating that you feel.
Yes.
I think that's, there's a lot to be said with our minds and how we see food and how we see it as a comfort and how the food that we then eat makes us feel. And it is just in our minds.
It's just not
in our minds.
Yeah.
It's all in our imagination. So you mentioned before about food for you was a comfort, and I absolutely put my hands up. That's exactly where I'm at for me at home. When we went on visits as young children with my family, it would all be about, let's go and see Grandad, let's go and get fish and chips on the chippy, I'll bring a cake. I've got quite a few aunties, so they'd all bring cakes and all. We'd sit there with loads of food and we'd have a game of cards, and then my granddad would bring the sweets out and then the biscuits. It was literally just constant food.
Yeah.
And it was a lovely time. We always had a great laugh over cards, lots of giggles, and I think subconsciously you take in that, you know, when you have these treats, when you have this food, it's going to make you feel happy. And also, my mum used to love cooking. She still does cakes. She absolutely loves cakes. So to me, not to go to my mum's, if she was to offer a cake, it would be very hard for me to say, actually, mum, I can't. I'm on plan. I'm being really good. She'd probably kick me out of the house.
Yeah. I've been faced with those situations. You know, my mum loves to bake and I've been offered cakes and whatever. But what I've always tried to say is, can I take a piece away and I'll have it on Tuesday?
Okay, well.
So, and then I've saved it for Tuesday night. Even if it means it's a tiny bit stale it's not quite as nice as it would have been freshly baked on the day. On quite a few occasions I've said, I'll take a piece away and I'll have it on Tuesday. And then on Tuesday nights, that's my night to have that.
Okay.
And then for the rest of the week, bang, literally Wednesday morning, back on plan and stay on plan until Tuesday night again.
So would you not allow the sins for that? So for example, so on the Simmers World plan, you can have up to 15 sins. So would you not think, right, okay, birthday cake, say like even on the Sunday, so Friday I'm going to have a few sins, Saturday I'm going to have a few and make way for the birthday cake on the Sunday?
It depends, sort of, if I know in advance that it's coming, what I've already got planned in meal-wise for that day. You know, if I'm using my sins in different ways, then I'm not going to blow my budget and go over the top just for the sake of having a piece of cake. That's when I would say I'll save it for Tuesday.
Right.
I try to eat as sin-free as possible.
Okay.
So that I've got the flexibility of having extra bits and pieces throughout the day.
Right.
If need to be, or if I want to, or if the mood takes me, or if we sort of have a last minute change of plan.
Mm.
So breakfast is always two hi-fi bars and a cup of tea, because I can't stomach much more than that. I've never been a big breakfast eater. No. So for that, for me, that's a perfect meal, because I can eat the hi-fi bars in the car on the way to work. Never been able to get up and eat something straight away.
So
that, for me, I can have my normal cup of tea while I'm getting ready for work. I make another one to take in my car in a travel mug, and I have my hi-fi bars and my cup of tea on the way into work. Generally, I have a sin-free lunch, so then my sins are saved for my evening meal. So then I can make my evening meal what I want it to be. So if I want to have a roast dinner, I can have Yorkshire puddings on there because I've got sins available.
Right.
And I can have gravy on there. You know, I can have a stuffing ball if I want to, or whatever else. If there are sins spare, then I'd use them for a piece of cake or whatever. But generally, cake is quite high in sins. So
it is.
Yeah. That's why I tend to save it for the night when I don't count sins, because then it's done and it's sorted.
Because when you mentioned about you have this treat on a Tuesday, so if you're generally eating sin-free throughout the week, so that would allow for that treat on a Tuesday.
So
it's really good, and it sounds to me like you plan everything.
Yeah.
And I guess having that scale with your heart, is that the motivator? Is that constantly in the forefront? Is that
absolutely, yeah, because, you know, one of the things, not only have I done Slimming World, but I've also exercised quite a lot, because I understand that, you know, it's not just all about losing weight. To be healthy, you need to, you know, your heart is a muscle.
Yeah.
So you need to use it. You need to make it work hard so that it can recover quickly, so that when something happens, you know, if you need to, I don't know, run away from an attacker, you're not going to drop dead from a heart attack.
Because you're absolutely healthy.
And also, you know, you're prolonging your life then as well, because your heart, if it's healthy, it will last longer. You look after it, it's not going to be fatty, it's going to be a good strong muscle. So I also started going to spinning classes to try and help that along. It was, I think, in July 2017, we established that the heart condition wasn't linked to being obese. It was a condition called SVT, which is supraventricular tachycardia, which is just something that some people just have.
Right.
And it's not necessarily linked to being obese or overweight. So that was something that kind of kick-started everything and made me get going. But by the time we realised, actually, it's not the... It's not a problem caused as
it's not a result of the weight
gain. It's not as a result of it. It's something totally separate, and it would have happened anyway.
Right.
But I was already quite far down the path of losing weight, so therefore, it didn't stop my momentum.
It just
made me think, oh, well, that's something I've got to deal with anyway then, so I might as well carry on.
There's no point
stopping and thinking, oh, well, I don't need to lose weight then. Because I was already seeing so many benefits. I was already feeling the change.
Okay.
And all of that positivity that brings, feeling better about myself, feeling healthier, being able to sleep better, my skin was better.
Wow.
I've already described, you know, the difference in the aches and pains that I was feeling, you know, and that all decreasing. I can remember after... goodness, perhaps about 6 months, I had a moment of realisation, sat at a desk, and I stood up to go and walk to a printer and realised my knees don't hurt.
Wow.
And I can't remember the last time I felt pain in my knees. And it was a realisation that something had gone without me even knowing.
That's just incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it was huge.
That's just incredible. So the weight loss, the pounding in the heart, or this fear... It's just led to so much more. And you mentioned running as well previously.
Yeah.
So that is, I mean, spinning
spinning and running, for anybody who's listening that has not tried that, are quite hard, odd tasks to take on. I know spinning is just, that is something else, and running as well. It's for your breathing for me. When I try running,
yeah,
and I've not run for a long time, it's more about pacing my breathing. So why did you choose spinning, and why did you choose running? At what point did you think, right, okay, I've had this heart murmur, so what I'm going to do is sit on a bike and go crazy an hour?
So there was a sign up in our Slimming World group that a local spinning centre ran Slimming World classes at 7:30, just specifically for Slimming World members. So there was no sort of embarrassment or anything else. You know, it was just all people, all like-minded people going. But 7:30 is quite late. I've done spinning classes before and absolutely loved it in previous weight loss attempts. You know, there was one where I didn't do anything about my eating. I just went to the gym 7 days a week and worked really hard, and I got very strong and very fit, but I was still incredibly overweight because I didn't address what I was eating. So established from that spinning is something that I could really throw myself into and enjoy. So saw this sign, said to my sister, because she'd joined Slimming World by that time with me as well, said to my sister, do you fancy going to spinning classes? Yeah, let's go. So she texted the number, she arranged the class, and we went along to the first one, and it was just so hard. It was so hard, because spinning is all about pedaling to the beat of the music.
Yeah.
So of course they're not going to choose something particularly slow. It's all upbeat music, high speed, you know, so you've got to keep up. And I found that just pedaling along to the music with no resistance on, no kind of anything involved, not standing up, just sitting down and pedaling to the beat of the music was so hard. But I knew that I enjoyed it, so I had to keep going.
Right.
So started off in March 2017 going once a week. At the end of the first class, I stood up to do some standing up pedaling right at the end of the class, and the pedal broke off the bike.
Bless you.
So again, I was back in that situation of feeling totally mortified, really, really devastated, you know, convinced myself that I was too heavy for the bike, that I'd made that happen because I was stood up and I was too heavy for it. The instructor was fabulous and came straight over to me, made sure I was okay. And, you know, I said to him, I'm too heavy for it, aren't I? And, you know, tears welling up in my eyes. And he just looked at me and he went, no, absolutely not. These bikes take an absolute hammering. They're all really old. Things happen.
Don't worry about it. It just happened to me
and not my sister. You know, it was like 10 stone lighter than me at the side of me. But yeah, so that sort of kind of broke me a little bit and made me think, oh God, you know what, this is another reason why I need to lose weight.
You push through it, and that's the amazing thing from talking to you and understanding where you've come on your journey. Whatever's happened, you just seem to, you've got this strength that rises up and just pushes through it and past it. And I think if you can get on a plane and have that happen to you, I mean, you are the superwoman, aren't you? You really can just do anything. I mean, I think I would have died and run off crying. I mean, honestly, the strength to be able to do that and withstand that. And I think with the bike, I think that's just another thing that that's come up, and you've just nailed it, and you've just cracked on. So do you always do spinning now? Is that part of your routine?
It is, yes. So started off doing one class a week because that's all I could cope with. You know, it made my knees really hurt, it made everything really hurt, because it is quite a high impact sport. I don't know if you can call it a sport, but a class to do anyway. So gradually built up to the point where I was doing perhaps 8 classes a week, doing doubles, so back-to-back classes, 2 or 3 in a row, just to push myself as hard as I could.
Because so in a day you would do
3 sometimes.
3 classes in a day?
3 classes of 45 minutes.
Spinning classes?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I thought, am I hearing correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so I started off doing one, and then I'd stay for the next one, and then I'd stay for the next one after that. So although I'd originally gone with the intention of joining the Slimming World classes, I didn't because they were too late, but then ended up doing them because I'd go for the first class at 5:30 and stay for the 6:30 and then stay for the 7:30 as
that's,
well.
That's all cool. Very but what, impressed.
You know, it was another challenge that I'd set myself to be able to do that. And again, this is where it comes back to your planning, because to be able to do 2-3 spinning classes in a row, even just one, you've got to get your food right. Because if I don't eat the right things at the right time, I know that I'm going to die halfway through one of those classes.
You need the energy.
Your energy just fades away. And you're left, you know, seeing seeing stars and feeling dizzy and sick and all sorts. Okay. So it again comes back to planning and making sure that you've got the right things in place. Okay. Drink enough water during the day. I've got the right snacks in place so I can have something mid-afternoon, so that I'm, you know, I'm keeping my body fueled to help me to do that. And it's right. definitely had a big impact on the weight that I've lost.
So from starting and then doing the exercise and having these, you mentioned that you've not got this pain in your knees. I know a lot of people say, or I know a lot of people say that biking will cause them to have pains in the knees and will cause them problems. Have you never experienced that with spinning?
Yes, to start with, it really did make my knees hurt. Okay. It really did, you know, sort of bring on walking up and down stairs after a spinning class.
I felt like
I got glass in, you know, broken up glass in my knees. But over time, that's got better. Right. That's an initial pain because your knees are being made to do something that they're not used to.
Different, right.
And what you, in carrying on with the spinning classes, what I did was build the muscles up around the knees to support them so that the impact wasn't as great on the actual joint itself. You're building up the muscles and you're using the muscles around. So that's, you know, for me, and this is how I've ratified it in my head anyway, you know, this is how it kind of worked. And making sure that you're fit enough to cope with, for your joints to be able to cope.
Exactly. And I think that's important for anybody listening that would be interested in starting spinning, just to know that if you can get past the initial month and then you will get the pain, but then that'll die down. I mean, I wouldn't advocate anybody doing some exercise that made them, you know, on the back and put them off work.
But just
to push through, I think that's great. And at what point did you start to run? Because you mentioned running with your dog.
So I tried running a little bit. When did I do it for the first time? It might have been earlier this year. I just took the dog for a walk and thought, oh, I wonder if I could run. I wonder, you know, I wonder if that's something that I can
do
now.
I can climb Everest.
And just started jogging. Just started having a gentle jog and realised, oh, this isn't that bad. This isn't like doing cross country when I was 16. Yeah.
From not running to running, you thought it's not that bad.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
I think you are just you're just an alien or something. I don't know anybody that I've run with that I've ever said when the first run they were, oh, it's not that bad.
I perhaps ran for about 100-150 meters and then stopped and walked for a couple of minutes and then ran again and then stopped. I went once or twice and then thought, yeah, I'm not that interested in it. It's not something that I've thought, oh, brilliant, I can do this now. Yeah. This is amazing. I've not got the bug for running. So sort of left it alone for a little bit. And then a week or two ago, thought, oh, I've not done that for ages. I've not run for ages. So it was a really warm day. So I got up early with the dog and thought, I'll take the dog for a walk before I go spinning.
Okay.
So that she's had a nice walk. She's had her exercise for the day, but not at the hottest part of the day. So again, thought, I'm all dressed for spinning, so I've got my support bra on and I've got my leggings that hold my legs in and make things less wobbly. So why not have a bit of a run and realise that I could run the entire way round the dog walk that I do, which is 2.5K around Briarley Forest Park in Sutton in Ashfield. But then there's also like a 0.5K walk to and from the house as well. So in total, it's like 3.5K and I can run that. And that's really weird.
That is really good. You've never had any problems with your breathing or pacing or...
Breathing is difficult when you're having to run up the hill. There's a last little bit on Briley where you have to run back up a hill. And obviously breathing gets difficult then. But yeah, no, I was able... I think I sort of held myself at a pace that I felt comfortable at. So I didn't get too out of breath.
Right.
So that makes me think that I can do more because I'm not pushing myself.
Definitely.
I'm just sitting at a comfortable pace. So what might happen if I do something that makes me slightly uncomfortable?
Yeah.
That's going to mean that then I can go further. So funnily enough, last night, a friend has asked me if I want to do the Mansfield 5K with her. So I've agreed to do
You'll
that.
You'll see me then.
So we'll give that a go. See how that goes.
Absolutely. I did a 10K in 2017, then I had a bit of an injury after. But for me, I don't know if you were the same, but at school, I was always the last.
Yes.
I was always the last in the race.
Yeah.
And not only that, I couldn't actually run without laughing, because I remember looking at myself and thinking, you look ridiculous. And I've got a nervous laugh anyway, and I just thought, no. And the more I laughed, the slower I went, and it just kind of, And then I think 2015, I started to try and run. It was a bit of a stop-start. And I've recently just picked that up as well to do park run, looking to do park run.
Right.
And I'm doing the couch to 5K. So is that something that you'd look into, the park run?
Yes, I think, park running is something that I might have a look at. You know, I've toyed with it. I've thought about it a few times and kind of put it to the back of my mind, just because Saturdays tend to be busy, because I don't have anything else planned. I don't have any other exercise planned in on that day. So that's the day when I have my nails done, I have my eyebrows waxed, I get the food shopping done, you know, all of those bits
important
and pieces.
Things.
essential stuff. So, to fill it up with another sort of mode of exercise. Do I need that in my life? No, not really, but it's another challenge. It's something new, you know, and it's I've got to the point where spinning classes are just embedded. That just happens without me even thinking about it. You know, I get home from work and without even knowing it, I'm upstairs getting my spinning stuff off and going straight to a class.
It's like, that's your routine and that's it now. That's part of you.
That's just the way I live my life now. So, I'm well aware that I need to do some sort of toning exercises. So the next big thing on my agenda now is to look at joining a gym so that I can start toning up. Because, you know, understandably, when you've lost 12 stone, I've got saggy bits. I've got, you know, saggy arms, saggy legs, saggy tummy, saggy everything, really. So that's, you know, if I can try and do some exercise to try and tone up a little bit, then that will be next. But I can't see why running can't fit into that. It's just something else that I can do.
Just another thing.
Why not?
You work full-time, do you?
Yes.
Wow. Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
And you do that as well, so that's really good. You never throw, I can't be bothered because I've just been at work all day, or veg out in front of Netflix. You're always motivated just to get on with it.
Yeah, I mean, I do have Netflix days, you know, days like today where it's raining and there's not an awful lot planned, there's not an awful lot happening. That would, you know, I'd spend the afternoon on the sofa. Don't get me wrong, I still have lazy times where I'm, you know, just sit there and do nothing. Because I think it's important to have that time.
I think it is, yeah.
You need to have that
switch
time.
Off.
To let your body relax and just, you know, you're not thinking about anything. You're not doing anything.
No.
You're just letting yourself rest.
So a couple of, I don't know if it was a couple of months or last month, I can't remember now, but Keith from the Prodigy, he was running the park run, and on the Sunday he took his life. And myself and some friends wasn't doing the park run. We just thought we'd just go and just to honour him and his genius, really. And mental health and exercise and looking after yourself, I think it's all very, very, very close-knit. And I'm just wondering how sticking to plan and building in exercise has helped with how you think and how you feel about yourself. And if it's helped you at any times that you normally you've just pigged out and gone crazy with the food. Do you feel that exercise has helped you with your mental health and how you feel about yourself?
Absolutely, it has. It's, you know, that I think the whole it's come as quite a package for me, really. The whole thing, the whole Slimming World and exercise. You know, that I started Slimming World and then very quickly started exercising. And I've always known and felt the same about exercise. It's getting yourself there is the hardest part. Once you're doing it, you're enjoying it. Once you walk out, you feel incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And having that feeling of elation and that, you know, all of the hormones and the, is it serotonin that it releases into your body, all that kind of thing, that carries you through to the next time and makes you want to do it more. Definitely it's brought about a more positive frame of mind for me. And that positivity has driven so many changes, so many changes in my life. So I've changed job role, I've had the confidence to put myself forward recently for a promotion, which I've then subsequently got the promotion, you know, and on reflection, would I have applied for that if I hadn't have felt like I was in such a positive place and like I was able to conquer the world,
right?
Essentially, you know, all of these changes have happened, and that's also put me in a frame of mind where I'm not frightened of change anymore.
No.
So many people fear change because they're not quite sure what it's going to bring and how they're going to feel and what's going to happen. Whereas I feel like now something new is brilliant, because what's it going to bring? How is it going to enhance my life? If it doesn't work, then change it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I haven't got that fear of a failure anymore, because there isn't any kind of failure. No. It's just something hasn't worked out.
I'd say it's just like a new learning, isn't it?
Yes.
So, and I always say that to my husband because he's a keen golfer. And I always say to him, look, it doesn't matter if you've had golf this week and you've not won because it's always winning. I said, because you'll learn from it. I said, you'll learn from those mistakes, and that's where yeah. That's what's going to help you get through to the next game.
Yeah.
But no, it's definitely a great mindset to have.
Yes.
So I've been on your Instagram account, so we can find you on SWClaireShaw18, yep. And there's some really good photographs on there with all of your big roasts. Lunches and yeah. some lovely photographs as well of your before and after journey.
Yes.
So what I'd like to ask you before we close today is, if somebody's listening that thinks, well, I'm just bowled over, that is totally amazing and motivational, I want to give this a try, what three pieces of advice could you give to that person to just think, right, okay, whatever's happened in the past, put it to one side. These are the things that you need to look to do and just to go for it. What three piece of advice would you give just to get on with it and to get it done?
Okay. I would say probably the best thing to do is go into it with a totally open mind. Don't go in there with any kind of preconceptions about how it's going to be, what you're going to be expected to do, what the results are going to be at the end of the first week. Go in there and just give it your best shot. Just try it. That was my mind frame in the first week. Try it and see what happens. Okay. At the end of the first week, I'd lost 5.5 pounds and I was absolutely astounded. I've never, ever had such fantastic results. Wow. Because I just took it day by day, seeing what changes I could make. But I just got a totally open mind. So I just went into it thinking, let's see what I can do.
Yeah.
Don't put too much pressure on yourself.
No.
Plan things through. I think that's the most important thing. Don't put yourself under any pressure. If you go slightly wrong in your first week, then that happens.
Right.
Nobody can be perfect. Nobody is on plan 100% of the time.
No.
No one. If they say they are, they're lying.
Okay.
Basically, nobody can plan and stick to plan 100% of the time. Over the last 2.5 years... I've had so many occasions where things haven't gone right, where things haven't gone the way that I wanted them to. But you can take back that control as soon as you can. It might not be in that moment. It might not be that day.
No.
It might be the day after. But you can take back that control.
Yeah.
And I think the last piece of advice would be just to be really honest with yourself.
Absolutely.
Have a real conversation with yourself, even if it's in your own head. You don't have to say it out loud. You don't have to make it so that anyone else can know about it. Have a conversation with yourself about what you really want. What do you want to get out of this? Why are you joining Slimming World? And then make that happen for yourself.
It was such a privilege to chat with Claire that day, and she's so lovely and she was so generous with the information that she gave. The main three takeaways were to give it your best shot. Just try it and see how it goes, see what happens. But the first thing is just to try it. Secondly, she said not to put too much pressure on yourself. And I think this is really good advice from Claire, not to put too much pressure on yourself and just to try it. And then thirdly, be really honest with yourself about what you really want, and maybe write that down. Journaling has been one thing that's really helped me. So I'd like to thank you for listening and tuning in today. If you have enjoyed today, please like and subscribe, and you'll be ready then to receive next week's episode. So for now, enjoy and take care.